How y'all doing, everybody? This is Gary calling in. I'm basically going to start my show. We're starting our show on winning mentality. So basically we're talking about the mentality that you got to have, or, you know, just talk about, you know, some of the traits and the things you kind of want to do to have winning mentality. We'll first start off with a quick poem. It's called The Victor, and it basically goes like this. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost a sense you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For in the world we find success begins with the fellow's will. It's all in a state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think how to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can either ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later the man who wins is the man who thinks he can't. So basically it's just kind of that poem just breaking down, like, you know, you can't win anything or you can't do anything in life if you don't believe. All right, so basically got some things written out, and it says to be successful or win, you have to believe in yourself, you know, goals, and be capable of visualizing and feeling success in your mind. If you learn to control your mind and thoughts, there is nothing you cannot achieve. Success in any sphere of life requires one to have a positive mental attitude and for you to take full responsibility for your life. If you are one of those people that pretty much blame people or other external factors for your lack of success, then this could be, or it exactly is what is stopping you from, you know, having that winning mentality, not taking responsibility for your own like destiny and blaming others for your lack of success. For example, you know, people say, oh, my boss doesn't like me, or they only pick their friends because, you know, they like their friends, which is very damaging because you're pretty much setting yourself up always with this, you know, outlet, an excuse to pretty much give the world for the reason why you're not making or you're not becoming successful like you want to be. And to me, I feel like talent is sometimes overrated in life and sports and whatever you want to call it. There are plenty of, like, talented people in this world in multiple areas. I mean, I feel like God don't put us down here with no talents or anything like that. I feel like all of us have something we can do. Whether we feel it is the main thing that stops us from doing it. Many of us aren't fulfilling our potential, and on the other hand, we look at other people and wonder why are they winning and I'm not. They aren't more talented than me, or I have just as much talent as them, but what a lot of us still realize is the most important thing is your mindset, mentality. I was always taught if you kill the head, the body will follow. In comparison to my topic, if you aren't equipped with a strong winning mentality, then you're never really going to win. All right, and do anybody got any questions or anybody want to make any comments? If you do, you can definitely call in at 516-595-8311.
Good morning, Mr. Green.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, you do have a caller.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm Sharonda Arnold calling from Durham, North Carolina.
What's
and
up, Sharonda?
I just wanted to say that I love the poem that you started with, you know, and how you said if the brain is defeated, the body will follow. And that is so, so true, because so many times in life, like, we could have had the victory in so many different areas in our life, but we allowed our mind and our thoughts to defeat us, and we end up getting what it is that we thought that we could get. And you know, it's a double-edged sword, because your thoughts can work for you or they can work against you. So that's why what you're doing today on this show is so important, because, you know, it's going to determine, you know, where we land in life, because it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so I just thank you, because what you're talking about is what's necessary.
I appreciate that, Sharonda. Uh-huh. I definitely do. And pretty much, I mean, it just, I was thinking about it, and I was just kind of chilling at work, and my job personally is a job where I'm a sales agent. So basically, one day you can go in there and you leave feeling like you the president of the world, you know, you done made all your sales, all your customers happy, and then the next day you go in there And it could just be you look like you're the worst agent out there because every day it's a competition. And what I've realized in that type of fast-paced environment where so much competition and so many people calling in, it's almost like necessary that you have to go in there with a positive attitude. Because I looked at my numbers one day where I just was in a bad mood, didn't want to be at work, just here. So I'm answering the phone like, yeah, this is Gary. Thank you for calling. What's going on? Just trying to get through the day. And I realized my numbers were just dropping dramatically. And I'm talking to my manager, and he was like, how you feeling today? You feeling all right? I'm like, oh, I'm all right. I really don't want to be here. So he listened to one of my calls, and he was like, man, you know, I could tell you don't want to be here by your call. Listen to this one. We listened to one from like 2 days before, and I was excited, you know, had energy because people can't see me, so they can feel my energy through my voice and how I project myself.
That's
and then
right.
on another call, he could, you know, you could hear that I'm like just there. And you could tell how like the customer, they kind of, it's like they're on the phone, but they're like, okay, I understand. Well, I'll just call back and talk to you guys later and see, if, you know, if me and my wife want to buy. Like a customer almost make up a reason to kind of get off the phone after you tell them what they need to know, all because of how you answered the phone. And I just realized he was like, man, every time you come in here, you just got to have that mentality like, you know, ain't nobody going to mess up your day. If you're having a bad day, leave it outside the door. Once you get in here, it's a new world. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what, that do take, if you think about every step of life, everything anybody does, you have to have a mentality where you feel like you're going to win or a mentality where you feel like everything is an obstacle. And I go into this. It basically says, with those people who like to blame people and like to blame things, like, oh, well, I didn't get the job because, you know, they wanted to hire their friends or promotion because they wanted to do this or hire some people they knew, which is sometimes it may very well be the case. But in these situations, a lot of people give up or they run away from the problem or the environment and look for another job or situation they believe will have a more favorable environment for them to succeed. However, the problem is often not with the job at all or the situation. The problem is often the person's mindset. People with this type of thinking will not make it in many areas of their life unless they change their mindset as change as possible if you want it to be. So you know how I talk to some people and some kids even, that'd be my main thing, like in these kids, that got to be instilled in them. And I know we can't do it. We can't change the world, you know, by ourselves just by, you know, some things, but we can help. But, like, a lot of parents got to start instilling in their kids. When you go to school, have a winning mindset. When you take that test, you got to feel good. You got to think you're gonna pass the test, and you got to prepare for it. You can't sit there and just go, you know, I got a test, but I don't, you know, I think I'm going to pass. I don't know. Did you study? I did, but it's just hard. You're not setting yourself up or putting yourself in a position to win, to build that confidence so you can continuously have a winning mindset. And then it basically says successful people with a winning mentality in any field are active and they're always looking for ways to improve themselves. They see failure and rejection as a temporary obstacle, they see it as a temporary obstacle that must be overcome, not a career-ending event. When confronted by a challenge, a winner immediately starts to devise plans for overcoming them. And pretty much that's basically just stating, like, how a lot of people, when you can tell, even in sports, it's kind of easier to see in sports a lot, but you can tell when you have a older guy or a more savvy veteran and then you have a young guy who's, you know, he's just made it to this professional sport. And he's just, this is his first check. You know, he's living life. He's just thinking, oh, I made it. You know, I made it here. I'm playing basketball, whatever he's playing. He'd be a doctor. You know, a new rookie doctor. I made it. I'm here, Mom. I made it to my field. But not even realizing now is really when the journey begins because now you made it to where you wanted to be. But it doesn't stop. You still got to put in that work. The people who succeed most of the time, they always look at the obstacle or they look at the challenge as an obstacle. If they get knocked down, they get fired, they get beat up. You know what I mean? Because they don't feel like they don't go into that mind state where they're thinking, oh, it's over. Oh, I'm panicking. I got fired from my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I remember times when my mama got fired from her job And, you know, I wouldn't say she panicked because it's a difference between the panic and, you know, you thinking. But I've seen her lose her job and she's figuring out, praying, thinking what she's going to do. And next thing you know, boom, door open. God opened the door. She got a whole nother job and it's better than the one she had. But if she would have sat there in her feelings, curled up, crying every day, you know, just making excuses, they let me go because of this, they let me go because of that, ain't no telling if that door would have ever
right.
been open for her. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
If God even, if she would have even went in there with the mentality of, well, this next job is mine. I don't know if my mom remembered, but I got cut one time from a basketball team when I was in the eighth grade in New Orleans. And,
right.
I mean, I feel like I went out and did everything I could, did everything I needed to do to make the team. But, you know, I came to school that next day. 15, 20 boys lined up at the wall checking for their names. You know, some walking off with their head down. So I get up there. I'm the last dude. I'm just knowing I made it. I look on the list. My name is not on the list. So I'm like, what is going on? I'm just like, you know what? Man, I guess I wasn't good enough, and I really feel like I've been practicing all summer. I don't know. I guess I wasn't good enough. Okay. So I'm kind of down, and one of my other friends, he got cut too. So his first thing, he come over there, oh, they just wanted people they like. They just wanted the people, you know, who been here or people that play AAU. He immediately went into making excuses. And I was just thinking to myself, like, man, I don't know. I ain't going to say he, you know, the coach got who he wanted because he didn't know all of us. We all come into the eighth grade. So I'm just kind of really sitting there low-key embarrassed and then shocked at the same time because I've never been cut before. So it's kind of one of those things like, whoa, okay, what am I going to do? I can't call my brother because he in Iraq fighting. So I don't know what to do. So I just come home. My mom like, well, you know, don't worry about it. You like football more anyways. You'll get him in the football field. But it just rubbed me the wrong way. So I still go outside. I'm the only kids in the apartment who got a basketball goal. So I'm outside in the apartment shooting on a goal. One of my friends from school called me. He made the team. He said, hey, man, I ain't see your name on the list. What's going on? And I was just like, Jared, I don't know, man. I thought I did, you know, what I was supposed to do to make the team. Said, well, man, that don't seem right, man. I know Coach. I don't know if he got to see you for real. I think he was on the other end. I don't know if he even got to see who you was. Next day we go to school. The coach comes up to me as soon as I get to school. Your name Gary Green, right? I was like, yes, sir. Yeah, I seen you out there. I thought you was this other name. Your name was supposed to be on the list. Meet me at practice after school today. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, meet me at practice after school today. Yeah, you on the team. So I'm just sitting there shocked, and I'm like, what? But my friend who had that, man, they just got who they wanted. I'm, you know, I tell him I make the team. He mad. He go tell his mama. So his mama could call the coach. But that just shows you the two different mentalities. He was ready to blame,
right.
And now he want to call his mama because he don't feel like it's right. But at the same time, you can't worry about what you can't control. You know what I mean? You kind of got to control only what you can control because that's all you can do. I can't worry about driving a plane. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, go ahead. Finish up. I was just going to make a statement.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say I can't worry about driving a plane if I'm not a pilot. You know what I mean? I can't control the plane. All I can do is ride on the plane and pray that the plane don't crash. You know what I mean? That's all I can do. And once I get to my destination, thank God, and keep moving. Go ahead, Ms. Wolf.
Yeah, a great, great comment. And thank you for this show. And good morning, listeners. If you're listening, this is definitely a topic you want to have with even your young men, because the winning mentality also starts within yourself. And I just wanted to say, like, I bought this book last week at this church I went to, and it's called Chase the Lion. And this morning I actually opened it and said, well, let me just read the introduction, you know, just see what it's about. But when it talks about chasing the lion, it also made the author made a comment that if your dream does not scare you, that means your dream is too small. That means your dream is too small, because anything that's worth getting, receiving, or having, it comes with at a cost. It can't just come easy. And that means that you show the ability that's within you, that you work to get it. And in order to get that, that's where you have to start with a winning mentality. To be a winner doesn't mean that you never lose. As you stated, you know, with myself, I before I was fired, I knew they were planning to fire me, so I actually quit instead of getting fired. But I flipped the script as the lady was talking to me when she was getting ready to fire me. But like my son was stating, my idea was that I can get something else. I've always had this mentality that no matter what I lose, I can build off of that. No matter what struggles come my way, somehow, some way, I believe in that I can overcome that. And my belief is definitely rooted in Christ, because I feel that he has given us abilities that we can move forward, and that no matter what we face, we have to take from that and learn from that. The other thing real quick that I learned focusing on this morning was when I got up to do my devotion. I was in real pain today. I've been sick for 2 days, and I couldn't hardly walk. And I struggled to get to the bathroom and get some medicine, and I realized I had to eat to take it. And I was like, I don't have the strength to stand up to fix me no food. So I went for my spiritual food. I got back in the room, got to a chair, put a heating pad on, and start reading my Bible. And in the devotion, it talked about how God will allow you to go through adversity. Now, I always have this analogy that God not going to purposely do nothing bad to you. But what he will do is he will allow you to go through some bad things and allow you to go through adversity based off of what he's put in place. He's already given us free will. So if you take the free will to go the wrong way, he's going to allow you to do that. He's going to allow the consequences that you have to bear to come as well, but he's still going to rock with you. He's going to cover you. He's going to give you the strength to get back up. And one of the perfect examples is Joseph, how he was put into all these bad situations. Some he was not guilty. Now, the first one, when he was telling his brothers about his dream, I felt like he was being a little cocky. So with the cockiness, his brothers didn't want to deal with that. Now, they wasn't right for selling him because he was cocky. It should have been another way to deal with his cockiness. But because he was cocky, they didn't like it. He was, you know, showing himself off. They got rid of him, but God still loved him. Then Potiphar's wife say he raped her. He didn't rape her. He was innocent. But even when prison, God let him be a leader. So we have to understand, no matter what we face, we have to have a winning mentality. If I did do something to get in a bad situation, okay, now I'm going to correct it and I'm going to keep moving. I can come out of it. If I didn't do anything and I was innocent, I'm not going to cry like your friend did about the basketball. I'm going to be like, okay, God, you know I didn't do this, so I'm going to keep on moving, because he will keep covering us. So the three C's of that winning mentality, like you were talking about, is competitiveness. Vince Lombardi said, winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. That's the key. You got to want to win. Do you care to be a winner in your chosen field of endeavor? You got to endeavor. The second C is confidence. It was Henry Ford. He said, whether you believe you can do a thing or not, you're right. You have, if you believe you can, you're going to be right because you're going to do it. If you believe you can, you're going to be right because you could do it. And then the third one is composure. The third one is plain and simple, composure. When thinking about composure, you have to imagine the penalty that it takes, even like in football. See, I love the sport of football, even though I don't know it all the way. I love watching my boys when they play football. I love hearing them tell me about the game. Because football, every little boy needs to play football, because it is the beginning to the opening of how to strategically walk in life. Football sets the whole – the game is about life. And so one of the best examples of the level of composure is from – a sorcerer when they were involved in a penalty, a soccer player when they was involved in a penalty shot against this other country. And the winner to go through it was for to win the 2006 World Cup in Germany. And so after the Australian goalkeeper, his name was Schwasser or something like that. After he made a spectacular save, the striker John Alusa, he had the opportunity to put the offer through. He had the opportunity to get it through. If that wasn't enough pressure, I don't know what was.
Right.
So you got to be able to be competitive. You got to be confident, and you got to keep your composure. You have to have it.
Right.
So this is a great topic. I think exactly what your target is very essential, and people need to hear this, and I hope they're listening.
Yeah, I definitely do too, because it even goes all the way back to people just sitting there saying, like to their kid or to somebody, like, you know, you bad. You know, just telling the little boy,
mm-hmm.
you bad. People don't understand the mental effect that take on people. You know what I mean? Even just like anything in life, when you're a kid, as a black African-American, you get taught about slavery first in school before you get taught about, you know, that, you know, what Africans was in Africa. And I say that because it's you're building that mentality. So off the rip, you're telling this kid, oh, you bad, you bad. And now all they visualize is, I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm bad. So
mm-hmm.
what do? They do bad stuff. You know what I mean? Because they constantly understand, I'm bad. I'm bad. Like, you already told me that, and that's what I think. So that's what I feel like in my head. And they begin to visualize themselves being bad. So if we turn that over, like, I like to tell kids, even when they get in trouble, you're not a bad kid. You just made a bad decision. You know what I mean? You just made a bad choice. I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, none of us make bad choices just because we're older than you. No, we probably made more than you. We're trying to tell you how not to make more. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So people got to get from that, oh, you're bad or you're stupid or you're this and that, to their kids when they make them mad because they don't realize the mental effect that they're putting on that winning mentality. They kind of already crushing that mentality before it actually gets instilled. They're really the ones who's supposed to tell you you're great, you're going to get this, you can do this. If you fall off, you can get back up. You know what I mean? So I feel like one of the first steps is visualizing your goals, visualize you overcoming your obstacle or challenge, visualize the best moments and ways you can win. And that takes me back to, like, when I played football or sport. Now, I had my best games when I visualized it the day before or the night before. Like, literally would lay in the bed and visualize me catching a touchdown, visualize me making a play, going through my playbook mentally, not even looking at it, just laying down, oh, yeah, when they call this, woo, I'm going to do this. When they call that, I can't wait till you call this play. I get to run this post. I promise you, if you throw it, it's a touchdown. And that ends up happening because mentally in my head, I'm programming my body. We're creatures of habit, but we also, like, it's weird. When you think about stuff, because I know y'all done had dreams and it didn't happen before, or you thought something was going to happen and it happened, and you kind of feel like, what in the world? How did that just happen? You know what I mean? But it's just like, we're magical. So if you really feel like you can do something, it sounds cliche, and a lot of people are like, well, I don't know, because if you think you can fly, technically you can. To me personally, I feel like you can if you think you can fly. Now, ain't nobody telling you to jump out of that plane without no parachute on or no flight gear, because that's how you're going to fly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but you first got to visualize it. And then you mentally got to be prepared. And just being in the right state of mind is crucial. And that's why I say, like, people can't be telling kids, or people, not even just kids, because you can tell. I mean, it's grown people with no confidence. You know what I mean? You tell them they stupid, and they really go home thinking they're stupid. They could be the smartest person at the job, but they have no confidence. So they got to be mentally prepared, mentally with the confidence, like you said, and then pretty much improve skills. Work on things you know you suck at. If you know you're slow, then you need to figure out, how can I work on something to be a little bit faster, or how can I make myself not look so slow? Or if you work at this job and you realize, okay, if I want to be this marketing manager, I got to learn the ins and outs, the logistics of how my marketing team work and really how the business work. So you know the problem. Fix it. Improve your skills. Work on them daily and review yourself. You don't always got to have another person review you and tell you, oh, you did this bad or you did this great. You kind of know. you know the requirements, right. You know the standards you're going to hold yourself at before anybody else told you. I was my biggest critic. If I messed up, I just, you know, in my head, I might have beat myself sometimes, and that was another thing psychologically that I had to realize. You can't go on the football field thinking, man, I don't want to drop a pass, because you just programmed your mind about dropping passes. You got to go on the field, I'm going to catch every pass. You don't even put the drop in there. You know what I'm saying? So when I walk into job interviews, I got the job. Yeah. I hope I get the job. It's over with. I got it. And if I don't get it, that means I won't post to get it on to the next one. You know what I mean? And that's every situation in life. I literally used to think like that. Like, I can't drop a pass. And I would notice I would drop a pass. And I'm like, damn, man. I just told myself I can't drop a pass. And it was a speaker who came to our school one time at Western Carolina Sports Psychology, and he was like, man, y'all got to understand y'all thoughts, you know, go along with your actions. So if you go out there saying what you don't want to do or what you ain't going to do, but it's still negative, you still put that negative charge in your body. So you got to go out there telling yourself what you – yes, ma'am.
You have one caller, and you got about 2 minutes left. I just wanted to let you know you do have a caller, and I could bring them on real quick for you.
Bring them on. What's up?
Yeah, it's Reggie
Hello.
Green. Yes.
What's
How
up,
doing,
Red?
Mr. Green? Yeah, I got too much time left, but I was listening in. I like what you was getting at.
Yeah, man. You know. How you feel about it?
Well, I didn't hear too much. I just heard at the end we use basing everything off the, like, football. Where you don't go on with your mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
and drop passes.
So basically, I give you a quick little rundown. Basically, we're talking about winning mentality and basically how you got to have the mindset and program your mind to win. And that's my apologies. I forgot to see the number, but I was just going in the park pretty much at that. And that's funny. He even was, you know, he played with me at Southview. It was times like my senior year where I used to drop passes, and his dad literally used to tell me, "You're trying too hard. I can see it in your actions. You look tense." You know what I mean? And it was because I was thinking about it too much. When I got to college, they taught me, you know, you go in there already knowing what you're about to do. You're going to catch the ball. You don't even think about dropping it. And I promise you, it was like one game where I might have dropped like two passes, came on the sideline, my mama chewing me out from the stands. And in my head, I just didn't panic. I was like, you know what, I'm good. I stayed calm, kept my composure, went back out there, caught like three passes in the touchdown, came back on the sideline, pointed at her. You know what I mean? Because that was that positive energy. But I think y'all, I know my show about to end, my time cutting out, but I appreciate y'all calling in.
Remember, so as a man, thank you. So is he. What a marvelous and great show, Mr. Green.
Yes, it was.
Appreciate you.
Thank you,
guys.
You guys
have a blessed
day. This has been A to Zay's Blog Talk
you
Radio
too.
Show. Tune in with us on next week, next Saturday. Thank you.
Blessed.